Thank you. Choir did a great job tonight. Thank you for the good singing and all the congregational singing. I like good singing. I even like some singing that's not too good. I mean, it don't all have to be just exactly perfect as long as it's right. And I'm thankful for that. We're going to look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. In case you hadn't kind of got the theme of this, we're looking at each one of these fruit that the Bible talks about we're supposed to have. And a lot of times we just bypass them and we pick and choose the fruit we want and say the other fruit isn't for me. That's just not who I am. Well, if you're saved, it's who we should be. May not be who we are, it's who we should be. So tonight we're going to look at the fruit of the Spirit. We're going to look at peace. And you know, a lot of times we think of peace, we think the absence of struggle. We think the absence of conflict. We think the absence of anything that would deter us. And that's not what peace is. See, peace, we look at the storm and we'll say, well, we want peace. And we think that the storm is supposed to calm down and that would give us peace. But the fact is, the peace that we have is an inner peace. And it may not be that the storms ever calm down for you. It may just be that you learn to trust God in the storm. And so Galatians 5:22 says this, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. And so when we think of fruit, we understand that fruit is not something we produce. It's something that we may assist in growing, but fruit is something that comes from something that is living. Fruit grows from life within. In other words, we can build a church. We can put the rafters up. We can put the foundation up. We can talk about building a church. But the truth is, it's the Lord's church. And if we build it, it's going to be futile. And when we look at our lives and we think about a fruitful life, if we're trying to build that fruitful life, what's going to happen is it's going to fail. And so the Bible doesn't tell us to build a fruitful life. It tells us this is the fruit of the Spirit. So what is manifested or what comes out of these fruit, in other words, the fruit is actually the product of the vine, right? Or the product of the tree. And so when it talks about fruit, it's not that you and I try harder to have peace. It's not that you and I try harder to have joy. It's not that we try harder to love. It is that we surrender more and allow God to do that through us. And folks, that's what we need to get tonight. We need to understand that in order for us to have peace, it is not going to be because I decide that I'm going to have peace. It's not going to be because I read a book on peace. And again, I'm for books. I think they're helpful. But if you look and say, I got peace because I read this book, you're missing out. You may have a short-term peace. You may have something that doesn't last that long. But what happens the next time you go through a storm? What happens the next time you don't get the news you want to hear? If you don't have an eternal source of that peace, then what happens is you're constantly looking to someone else to give you that peace. And so here, one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit, it brings peace. And peace is not something we produce, but something that is produced within us. As we submit our lives to the Lord, then we realize that God produces that peace within us. The Holy Spirit produces good fruit. Amen? Amen. Listen, some of you need to wake up because you hadn't said amen in about 17 weeks. So let's do this. Let's try it. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3. Amen. Good. Now that's what you ought to do. Amen means so be it. And so when we look at the fruit of the Spirit and we look at peace, automatically there's some of us that'll say, well, that is not for me because I have too many trials in my life. I have too much conflict. I have too much drama. I cannot have peace. You're looking at peace the wrong way. It's not the absence of conflict. It's not the absence of trials. It's not the absence of storms. It is a dependence and a reliance on the Lord Jesus Christ to keep you in the storm. So let me give you three things tonight. It probably won't be a long message, but hopefully it'll be a help to you. The fruit of peace. Number one is to have peace with God. The Bible said in Romans 5:1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So there it is. There is the link between our peace with God and ourselves. It's not us living a better Christian life. It's not our standards. It's not, listen, because we listen to the right music. And again, I'm for those things. I don't ever want you to think that in my old age I'm getting compromising. I'm not. But I'm starting to understand, Brother Junior, that a lot of this Christian life that for years we've preached is not about Jesus. It's about us trying harder. And we try harder and we get frustrated and finally we just quit. And so the Lord is wanting us to rely on Him. And He wants us to depend on Him. And so to have peace with God, it's not that I never lie. It's not that I never steal. It's not that I never sin. We don't want to do that, right? But we realize that we are probably going to. So for me to have peace with God, I must, the Bible says here, I must be justified by faith, right? Amen. It's not about living this life or that life. In order for me to have peace with God, I must be justified by faith. And so when we look at this, we see a couple things. We see the separation from peace. Now, in order for us to continue to have fellowship in that peace, we have to live a life that is pleasing to God. Now, we know, Brother Matt, that is dependence on God. But the Bible also tells us that there's something we do. Amen. So it's not just I'm dependent on the Lord, but I'm living my life any way I want to. There is this thing called separation. There is this thing called sanctification. Now, positionally, you and I know that we are sanctified in the Lord Jesus Christ. But there is also the practical side of it. The Bible said that we're not to love the world, that we're to abstain from all appearance of evil, that we're to flee evil. In other words, anything that would not be pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ, you and I are not to participate in. We are to run from it. And so here's what's missing in today's radical grace movement. It is not, they understand that grace abounds. They understand that God is full of grace. They understand they cannot live this Christian life on their own. So instead of saying, I'm going to depend on God, but I'm also going to remove some things out of my life, they say that they're only giving you half the story. So I understand tonight that if I try to live my life pleasing to God and I do not have the witness of the Holy Spirit on the inside, there's going to be frustration. There's probably going to be quitting. There's going to be deflation of my will. I'm basically not understanding what grace is. But I also understand that if all I ever do, Brother Mark, is talk about the grace of God and do not take responsibility for my actions, for my choices, I'm also not getting that side. So the separation from peace is sin, if we're honest, broke the relationship with God. Way back in the Garden of Eden, Adam and the Lord had a fellowship, a perfect fellowship, until sin came in. I remember Mays Jackson said one time, he was preaching, and he said this lady came up to him and said, you know what? She told him, I want to tell you something. She said, I want to ask you this question. Said, you talking kidding, and she knew he's kidding around. She said, you kidding about women all the time. Do you know where you'd be if it wasn't for women? He said, yep, sure do. He said, still be in the Garden of Eden if it wasn't for the women. But he is kidding with it. But the fact is, Adam chose to sin. Adam chose to disobey God, right? And so we have to realize that when we sin, there is a breakdown of fellowship. It doesn't mean we're not saved. It means there's a strain on our fellowship with God. And so that peace that passeth all understanding, there's a problem there, right? So we're not naturally at peace with God. We're at peace with God when we're saved by the grace of God. Mankind cannot have the peace of God, cannot have peace with God because they're not saved. And once we become a Christian, once we are justified by Jesus Christ, that sin has been dealt with. Amen. The blood of Christ has washed away that sin. And now, once you're saved, truly born again, you are in a right standing with the Lord Jesus Christ. So we see separation from, that's why this world's in such a mess. Man, you want me to tell you why the opioid epidemic It's not because, and don't, again, I think you understand me well enough to know that I'm not for drugs pouring in our country. But the problem is not the border. Now, I'm not for open borders, okay? But that ain't the problem. The problem is man has a sin problem. He's looking for something that's going to give him peace, and he doesn't understand that in his condition, in a sinful condition, man is separated from God. And so there's a separation there, but then there is a search for peace. You know, we sit here, and I know we kid around with this, but you know, you hear all the time saying, people say, well, money doesn't buy you happiness, and we'll say things like, well, maybe not, but I sure would like to give it a try. You know? And we look, we'll say, well, you know, if I won the lottery, I'd give 10% to the Lord. Well, you know, you don't give 10% now, probably not going to give it then. We have this mindset that if I had a nicer house, a nicer car, if I had, you know, I think the new iPhone's coming out, and I don't know what version it is, but, you know, it's the latest and greatest. If I had a new iPhone, new computer, new tablet, new what wife, new what husband, I don't know. Whatever it is new you think would make you happy. Not you, baby. I'm happy with you. We think that'd bring me peace. But the fact is, it doesn't. You got people making millions of dollars as actresses and actors and sports figures, and they're hooked on alcohol, and they're hooked on pornography, and they're hooked on drugs, and they commit suicide and all these. If money was the answer, surely they'd be the happiest people in the world. Then you think, well, if I had a better job, if I had a higher position, and you know what? They're not happy either. Then you take this little old grandma that doesn't have much money, barely paying the bills. You talk to her, and boy, she's got physical problems. You don't hear a complaint out of her. And you know what the difference is? She has found peace. She doesn't have to search for it anymore. And so mankind tries to find peace and pleasure. They try to find peace and substance. They try to find peace in this world. And they keep, and they realize that once they get to that level they think will make them happy, they realize it's not enough. And it's like the carrot is dangled out there a little farther. And they got to go a little farther. And a little farther. And a little farther. Until many, sometimes, Brother Tim, realize that they'll never find that peace. And they either look for it somewhere else, or they just decide that you can't find peace in this life and want out. There's a search for peace. You know why the message of the cross is so attractive? Why it is our responsibility to share it? Why it's our job to go out and share it with the world? Is because they're searching and we have the answer. And what we do, Brother Jason, we wait for them to come to church and they walk by and get saved. We'll say, hallelujah, somebody got saved. But what about the one that'll never come in the door? We don't go soul winning. We don't go knocking on doors. We don't hand out tracts so we can do a number, so we can brag. We do it because there are literally thousands of people outside the doors of our church that need to hear the gospel. Folks, I want to say this. I hope you don't get upset with me. If you do, then take it up, Brother Jimmy. But as a Christian, as a church, if we do not get more burdened about souls, I'm just telling you, we look at our church and you know what? People say, you know what? I remember when the whole church was full on Sunday night, wonder what's going on. I tell you what's going on. There's time, Brother Matt, on a Saturday we go knocking on doors. We were shooting for 100. Now if we get 40... Brother Eddie, 40s, that's still good. But see, things have got in our way. Things have come up. I had 24 on the buses this morning. Praise God. But next week, we ought to shoot for 30. Not so we can brag about how many got on the bus, but because in those 24, they know somebody that needs Jesus. You say, well, yeah, boy, those bus workers ought to go. You know what you ought to do? You ought to grab one of these bus workers and say, hey, I'll go out with you next Saturday because I want to see the bus filled up. Good preaching. Because there's a world outside the walls of the church. Listen, I'm preaching to you because we need to have peace. But outside the walls of the church is a world that is without peace. And we're the ones who can deliver the message of peace. And if we're honest, we're too busy. We got too much going on. And I'm not saying you every Saturday you got to meet up here at the church and go knock on doors. But I want to ask you this. How many people in a week's time do you even talk to about the Lord? I mean, just see them at Walmart, see them at work, see them on the street saying, I want to tell you about Jesus. Where do you go to church at? Can I share with you the good news of the gospel? Listen, if all of us did that, I promise you what would happen on a Sunday night. It wouldn't matter if it's raining. It wouldn't matter if the rivers were overflowing. People would want to hear the good news. But we're keeping it in the church house, see? And there's a world searching for peace. And then you see the Savior of peace. The Bible said here in Romans 5:1, there being justified by faith, we have peace with God through. Not through the church, not through our mindset, not through our belief system, but through a person. There is no peace apart from God, and Christ came to bring peace. And that is justification. He is the Prince of Peace. You know why that song he just sang should mean so much to us? Because Jesus Christ is the one that took the hand of a holy God and the hand of sinful man and joined them together at the cross of Calvary. He is why we have peace with God. Not because you're a good person, not because you've never told a lie, not because you've never smoked a joint. No. You have peace with God today because Jesus, the propitiation, the Son of God, the perfect God-man that walked on the earth, died in your place, and on the cross of Calvary, God laid all the sin of mankind on His back, dealt with it that day, and when He said it is finished, He took the hand of God and the hand of man and joined it together and provided a way in John chapter 14, verse number 6. We saw it today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is justification. That's why we have peace with God. And then number 2, we have the peace of God. You can't have the peace of God till you have peace with God. Philippians 4, 6 and 7, Bible said, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. You know what? Let's stop right there. I don't want to move too fast. Not because you need it, but probably because I need it. Bible said, be careful for nothing. You know what that's saying? Brother Junior, quit worrying about everything. Don't worry about anything. That's what he's saying. Notice this, but here's the negative. We worry. He says, stop it. Then he says, but in everything, not just the good, not just the easy, not just the sunshine days, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Now, I know I got criticized for this, saying this a while back, and I got blasted on Facebook for it. But I'm going to say it again. Did you see what that scripture said? Brother Matt, read that for me. If you got it there. He don't have it. Who's got that scripture I just read? Me? Am I the only one? I didn't tell you what it was. I'll read it again then. Hallelujah. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. All right? I said something a few months ago about, you know what? You ought to quit putting everything on Facebook, but pray for me, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And so, well, I know Pastor said this, but I'm going to do it anyway. That scripture right there says you make your request known to God. Now, I'm not saying, listen, you come to me and say, Pastor, I got something I need you to pray about. Here it is. Or Brother Jason or Brother Matt or church. But don't ask everybody else to pray for something you won't pray for. You realize that God can hear your prayer just like He can a multitude of people all over the world. Now, there are certain times I think getting all the prayer you can get is helpful. I do. But let me say this. Every time you... I'll be careful with this too. Every little thing doesn't need a phone tree. Everything doesn't need a phone tree. Everything doesn't need a Facebook post. Some things you just need to get in your own prayer closet and get along with God and let God answer your prayer, and it'll give you confidence that God will hear your prayer. Because what happens is we think certain people have a closer hotline to God. We'll say, Brother Mark, you're a prayer warrior. I need you to pray for this. Nothing wrong with that, but why don't you first pray yourself and let God hear your prayer, and then when God answers your prayer, then you'll have the confidence that when Brother Jason says, I need you to pray for me, you'll pray in confidence that God's hearing you. You with me? I want to be careful because I'm not telling you don't ever ask anybody to pray for you. I'm not saying don't ever put it out there. I'm saying it's kind of like the boy, Brother Jay, that cried wolf. You know? Pray for me. I got an ingrown toenail. Pray for me. You know, I've got a pimple. Pray for me. I had to go to the doctor for a checkup. Pray for me. And then all of a sudden, something major happens where you really need prayer. And people going, here we go again. When you can pray, you see, you can pray. You don't need people. Again, take what I'm saying. I know. I pray that after 16 years, you understand me well enough to say I'm not blowing you out. I'm saying give yourself an opportunity to have your prayers answered, and then you'll gain confidence that God hears you. So he says, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your heart and minds through Christ Jesus. So, looks to me like, Brother Mark, according to this scripture, maybe the reason a lot of us don't have the peace of God is because we are not the ones making our requests and petitions known to God. The folks that are praying are the ones that have the peace of God. I know. Listen, I know. I'm just reading the scripture. I mean, maybe, Brother Jimmy, I'm off here, but it looks to me like the Lord said, and when you make your petitions known, when you make your requests known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through. Once you do that, right, then you have peace. And maybe the reason people are so emotionally tore up is because they don't pray. They don't make their requests known before God. They don't spend the time. They want somebody else to do the heavy lifting. Pray for me, preacher. Pray for me, Brother Mark. Pray for me, Brother Jimmy. Pray for me, Brother Lee. Pray for me, Brother Paul. Pray for me, Brother Matt. That's fine. But why don't you pray for yourself and pray that God would help you, and then you will have that peace that you look for. So there's peace for our anxiety. According to this scripture, it said be careful for nothing. Now, you ready for this? That doesn't say, maybe. It doesn't say, for some of you, it doesn't say if you think it's best. That looks pretty much to me like it's a command of God. Be. That's an action word. Be. Careful for nothing. Don't worry about things. So we have to have peace for our anxiety. There it is. Oh, but that's just my nature. Wait a minute. Let's rewind it. That might have been your old nature, but your new nature is controlled by the Spirit of God, or should be. So when we're controlled by the Spirit of God, then all of a sudden, we do not have the anxiety that we have when we're not controlled by the Spirit of God. Huh. If you spend all your time biting your fingernails down to the quick and drinking Maalox by the gallon, you're probably not as controlled by the Spirit as you think you are. Now let me say this. Ready? When you go your own way and do your own thing, and you are not concerned about the will of God, and you don't want the will of God in your life, you want your will, then don't come and say, well, you know what, I'm just going to trust God for it. You didn't trust God to follow His will to start with. Good preaching. That probably won't get me into a lot of conferences, will it? So in all circumstance, in every situation, we're to trust God. But then there is the peace that is abundant, above our understanding. It is more than we could imagine. When the storms are blowing, and it seems like the walls are coming in around you, and all of a sudden, you're thinking, Brother Eddie, why do I not feel more concerned about it? It kind of messes with our understanding. I mean, Brother Tim, if we really believe that God has it in control, then what are we worried about? But we have to be filled with the Spirit of God to be able to do that, because if not, we're depending on our intellect, our ability, our knowledge, our wisdom, our insight, whatever it is, to get us past that anxiety. And the fact is, God's saying, I want you to trust me. It's more than we can imagine. And then it is peace that is arresting. It's arresting. In other words, it keeps our hearts faithful to Him. You let God get you through a few storms in your life, you won't have near as much problem trusting Him in the next one. You see the hand of God and the power of God, and you have peace with God, right? You have the peace of God in your heart. You don't really care who's in the White House. You don't really care what this world throws at you. You don't really care what the doctor says. I mean, I'm just saying, when we have the peace of God, you get bad news, oh well. Yeah, preacher, that's easy for you to say. Well, it's not easy for me to say, but I do know this, Brother Chad. Whenever you preach something, and whenever you say you believe something, God's going to test you on it. And I don't have a lot of experience, but I do know this. 10, 12 years ago, when I was sick all the time, and I had a spot on my lung, and I went to the doctor, and they said, hey, it could be cancer. I'll be honest with you, Brother Mark. I walked out there, and the doctor told me, he said, you don't seem too worried about it. I said, well, you don't even know what it is. So why am I going to get all upset when you don't even know what it is? And then when he told me, he said, might be an infection, might be cancer. We don't know. We're going to run tests. We went through tests and tests and tests and tests. And I went through scanners, and I had PET scans, and they went down and biopsied my lung, did all that stuff. And I never once, not one time, and I'm not bragging on me, I'm just telling you this is what God did for me. Not one time was I ever really that upset about it. Not one time was I ever worried about it. Not one time. Now my wife might have been, she's a little worried when I come out of that anesthesia is acting crazy. But other than that, I didn't worry about it. And then when they told me what it was, they said, we're going to put you on prednisone and we're going to give you all this. I said, you're not putting me on that stuff. And he said, but we have to. I said, no, you don't. I'm not getting on it. And I said, you give me 6 months and you let me pray and you let me do some things naturally. And I said, if it's not better than 6 months, then we'll talk about it. Guess what? 6 months, he said, that spot shrunk, got small. You say, well, that's you. I can't do that. I didn't think I could. I'm not bragging. I'm just saying, before you look at me and say, he don't know what he's talking about, he's never had gone through. Listen, let me tell you something. We may not have gone through the same trials and tribulations, but you can ask my wife. Listen, in between Luke and Hannah, we lost a child. I don't know anything worse than losing a child. We didn't quit on God. Listen, we had that thing. Luke was born. He had a heart problem. We thought he was going to die. We still trusted God. He had heart surgery to fix it. We still trusted God. Wasn't long ago, Ellen's dad had dementia, passed away early. We still trusted God. Wasn't long after that, my dad passed away. A month after that, my mom fell out right over there. I'm just saying, friend, don't look up this pulpit and say, he ain't gone through nothing. He don't know all I've gone through. You don't know all we've gone through. The same God that got me through and the same God that got you through is the same God that'll get us all through if we'll trust Him. You don't have to worry about every little thing. It's in God's hand. He'll take control. And when you realize how big your God is and how much He loves you, you don't want to leave Him. Hey, when you need Him the most is when you're in the storms. When you need Him the most is when you have no peace. Why run from Him then? Then number three, we have peace with others. When we have the peace of God and peace with God, then we can have peace with others. The Bible said in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Notice that. You walk worthy of your vocation with lowliness and meekness, long suffering. Notice this, forbearing one another, putting up with each other, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Whatever the cost, keeping peace. Whatever the cost, keeping unity. If you have to be offended, if you have to end up on the wrong end of the stick, the Bible tells us that's what you need to do for the unity and peace. My own, you stop shouting. Because here's the honest truth. You look and say, I can't fellowship with so-and-so because they get on my nerves. Let me open your eyes up to a secret. You get on people's nerves. You're not a catch yourself. Neither am I. I promise you, listen, I don't see how, but I probably get on somebody's nerves. I don't see how, but I probably do. And you do too. You probably just irritate somebody. But you need to put up with each other. Just put up with each other. Everybody's not going to do things like you want done. When you're married any length of time, you just realize some things are just not worth the hassle. You know? You first get married, I don't know if you're establishing some authority or, you know, everybody's trying to let everybody know who's in charge, and boy, they're all the time. No, that's not the way I want done. Brother Kenneth, after a while, you're just like, whatever, you know. Well, it doesn't matter. In the big picture, it doesn't matter that much. There are some things, you know, I'm going to fight over. You know, I'm going to take a stand. We're not going to have no Carolina stuff in our house. We ain't doing it. No Alabama stuff's going in our house fleet ever. But you know, for the most part, doesn't matter. I kid with Ellen. She goes to Goodwill. She drags junk home. We got Goodwill junk all over our house. We got giant roosters, and we got all kinds of stuff. I'm like, and one day that rooster is somehow miraculously going to be missing, and we'll never see the rooster again. She won't know where it went. But for now, I'm like, you know, she's got on top refrigerator. I think it looks ridiculous, but she likes it, so I just don't look on top of the refrigerator, you know. And she probably goes in my office and looks and goes, you know, them golf clubs hanging on the walls is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life. Well, just don't go in my office, you know. You just got to figure out how to get along. As couples, as a church, as a pastor and people in the pew, you just got to figure out how to get along. Because you know what we don't need? This world doesn't need to see Christians fighting. I mean, when you go to work and talk about the church and you talk about the pastor and you talk about, you know, your Sunday school teacher and you talk about this guy and that, you know what they're looking, saying? Bunch of hypocrites. You know, when you get on Facebook and you talk about this and that and you got people arguing, fighting, and, you know, that's what they see. And it's bigger than you and me.
Amen.
See, what happens is when we're walking in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit breaks down barriers. Breaks down barriers. You know what I've learned? I go out west, you go up north, you go to some other part of the country. They're not going to do things exactly like we do it here. They're not, you know. They're going to sing, you know. They may not have a piano. They may use a guitar, and you know, their singing may be more sound country to you. But guess what? That's where they live. You go to Wyoming, and they ain't going to act just like you do here. And part of the problem, Brother Matt, is preachers go out there and they try to turn them into a southern church, and they end up falling on their face and can't figure out why it didn't grow, and because you didn't fit in. I mean, Brother Jimmy, you remember what, maybe somebody will, if you do, tell me later. There's a missionary, went to China, one of the greatest missionaries ever. And he this was, I don't know, 1500s, 1600s. He made no progress with them. That was back, this going to blow your mind, Baptist. It's back when the men had them, they shaved their head and had that long black ponytail hanging out the back of their head. Remember, you've seen pictures. That's what he did. And he started reaching them. And you say, I'd never do that. Might be why you never reach them. Boy, he got all kinds of criticism for that. But I believe when he stood before the Lord and he had souls for his labor, I don't really think he was real concerned about the Baptist mission administration, what they thought. I'm not saying you compromise.
Right.
I'm saying that everybody is not going to act like you. And when you're filled with the Spirit of God, it breaks down barriers. I don't have to, you know what? I don't have to do everything like everybody else. They don't have to do it like we do it. We can fellowship. I can fellowship with some folks that maybe don't believe exactly like we believe. Doesn't mean I'm going to have them preach for me. The Holy Spirit breaks down barriers. The Holy Spirit binds us in unity. We don't all have the same things in common. But the one thing we do have in common is the Lord Jesus. And then finally, the Holy Spirit breeds characteristics in us. The Bible said here in Ephesians 4 that we have lowliness or humility. That's not natural for us. That we have meekness or submission to divine will. That's not natural for us. That we have long suffering. Man, that's not natural for us. When you see those characteristics in people, oftentimes it's not, Brother Jimmy, because they're getting older. It's because they're maturing in the Lord. As you mature in the Lord, then more of these characteristics of God will be evident in us. The fruit of peace. We have peace with God. We have peace in God. And then we have peace with others. Didn't say we'd never have problems. It's saying that peace is greater than our problem. Let's stand together. Stand together all over the auditorium. Thank you for your attention tonight.